Bibles, turn them to Mark chapter 15. We're going to do communion at the end of service because I want to drive home these points that the Holy Spirit has given me to share today. And I want us to get a good revelation of that before we take communion. Amen? Now, I'm going to read Mark 15, 17 through 47. A little lengthy, but it's the whole story. We got to get the whole story out. Amen? And they clothed him with purple, Jesus, and they twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him. And bowing a knee, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, and he did not take it. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription of his accusation was written above, "The King of the Jews." With him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with the transgressors. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Aha! You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross.' Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save.' Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified with him reviled him." Can you imagine that? "Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?' He was carrying the load of every sin that ever was committed and ever will be. Some of those who stood by when they heard that said, 'Look, he is calling for Elijah.' Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink, saying, 'Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to take him down.'" These people were all messed up, so confused. "And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, 'Truly, this man was the Son of God.'" Finally, someone got it. Someone got it right, finally. Verse 40. "There were also women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, the less and of Joseph, and Salome, who also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. Now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he bought fine linen, took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, observed where he was laid. Now, the title of my message tonight is simply this: the message of the cross. The message of the cross. See, the cross speaks. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, it speaks around the world in every language. You understand that? The cross is known around the world in every language. The Word of God says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. Right? Those who are perishing. But it is the power of God to those who are saved or who are born again. So that means then, listen, the ones that are perishing, the ones that are unsaved, do not understand the message of the cross. They don't understand the power that's in the cross and what is it is provided for them. They are lacking knowledge of the reason for the cross, amen, and what the benefits of the cross of Jesus Christ provides to everyone. It's a, say, provision. Now remember, you got to remember this. When the seed of God's word is sown into the heart of a person, I've said this before, I'll say it again. The difference between that seed in the heart growing fruit or being stolen out of the heart is understanding what they're hearing. Amen? So in this message, I want to bring up and talk about powerful points that will give you an understanding of what Jesus Christ accomplished by hanging on that cross, by dying on that cross, by shedding his precious blood. Amen? Christianity is a bloody religion. Amen? The blood of Jesus. That's already been shed. Amen? And all our benefits in Christ are wrapped up in what took place on that old rugged cross and Jesus' glorious resurrection from the dead. Think about it. Amen? B.C. and A.D. Even time is split in half. Before Christ and after death. Amen? Jesus truly was the spotless Lamb of God that was sacrificed for our sins. He was the spotless Lamb of God that came to reverse the curse so that every human being could live in the blessing zone with God. The veil was torn in the temple. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to share with you some key points of what the cross of Jesus Christ reveals to us. All right? Now, number one, the cross reminds us of God's love for humanity and that our God is a giver. He is the ultimate provider, and he loves to give good gifts. Amen? Go with me to John 3:16. Let's just take a look at this. I know we know it very well, but let's just take a look at it in the book itself. Amen? There's something about reading it. There's something about seeing the words on the pages. Amen? Hallelujah. We can hear, but let's read. Amen. Hallelujah. John 3:16-17. It says, for God so loved the world. This is Jesus speaking. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to this. Usually we stop right there, but 17 is so beautiful too. For God did not send his son, Jesus, into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen? There's no, come on, he wasn't trying to condemn anybody. No, this was a lifeline he threw out to all of us. Jesus is the lifeline, amen? So God the Father didn't just give someone up. God the Father didn't give his son, Jesus Christ, up. Someone so precious and dear to him to be beaten and killed on a bloody cross without the target of his life, love, you, being valuable to him. Think about that. The gift he gave shows how valuable all of us are. That target, all of mankind, amen? Even the filthiest sinner right now on this earth right now, someone in Detroit, in L.A., someone in the slums right now that's shooting up, you know, amen, someone who's shooting up right now, they're precious to God. We got to get that through our head. No, not to the head. We got to let it drop 6 inches down to our spirit, into our heart. Amen? Because when we get a revelation of that, how valuable everyone is to God, that's when, guess what? We're going to start opening our mouths and start telling someone about him. So Buddha, Hare Krishna, Muhammad, all these others, they didn't die for the sins of mankind. Only the Lord Jesus Christ did. Amen? And by the way, out of all of them, he's the only one, Jesus, that's alive and well right now, today. Amen? Only Jesus Christ claimed to be God in the flesh. Think about that. So our God is a generous giver. He's always mindful of our needs. Amen? Even the needs you don't even know what you need. Think about that. We don't even know what we need. And God's trying to send things into our life. And because we don't know we need it, we try to push it away. Think about that, right? Let God prune the things out of our life that shouldn't be there. Look at Luke 11. Go to Luke 11. Oh, our God is a giver. He loves to give. Amen? And if you're like your heavenly Father, you'll be a giver too and help people out. Amen? Luke 11, 9 through 13, I want to look at. Jesus said, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him that knocks, it will be open." Here we go, listen to this. "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he does, he should be in jail. Hello, somebody. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more?" How much more? This is what we got to get in our heart right now. How much more? You love your kids? That's nothing compared to how much God loves each and every one of you. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Think about that. Obviously, the Holy Ghost is precious. God believes that we need the Holy Ghost. Amen? To live a victorious life. So why don't you, even in your seat right now, God, give me, fill me, baptize me with the Holy Ghost right now in the name of Jesus. Amen? And we can do that because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on an old, rugged, bloody cross. Think about that. So God wants to pour out the gift of the Holy Spirit upon all flesh. All those that have made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life have a right to ask for the Holy Spirit baptism to be endued with power. Think about that. The Word of God says this. I love this. He says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Oh, does God really want to bless me with that? Oh, does he really want me to walk in miracle signs and wonders? Does he really? Yes, he does. It's his good pleasure to give it to you. The only variable is this. Do you want it? He's willing to give, but do you want it? Amen? It is his good pleasure to bless you. And that was only made possible, like I said, through the sacrifice, the selfless sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God knew what you needed when you didn't. Jesus was sinless in his life on this earth. But the Bible says he became sin on that cross. You understand that, don't you? Don't believe these Hollywood movies where it says Jesus had an affair with Mary Magdalene. Hello, somebody. Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life, and that is why he is the spotless Lamb of God. Amen? Amen. But it says when he was on that cross, hanging on that cross, he became sin. He was the sacrifice, right? So all of those sins got heaped on him. Even Jesus himself, he was so overwhelmed by the whole sin of the world that came upon him. He said, my God, why are you forsaking me? He knew why he was there. But you ever get like that when you're in a situation so stressful That just confusion comes upon you. The frustration of it, the heaviness of the situation. Jesus was feeling that human emotion. Think about that. Jesus was feeling all the, as someone would say, all the feels of it. So take hold of this revelation. God takes pleasure in. He gets joy out of giving us good things. Why? Because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross to give it to you. So we are actually bringing God glory when we take advantage of every benefit. Right? We are bringing him glory because he's saying, great, you know what? In Marianne's life, thank you, Marianne, for taking advantage of what my son Jesus did on the cross. He didn't do it in vain. You're taking advantage of it. Thank you. Are you following me? Think about it. Let's just screw our spiritual heads on straight here. Amen? Now, all you and I have to do as Christians then, the provision's there. You know what our job is? So it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. All we got to do is, according to Matthew 6:33, is to be a kingdom of God seeker. And we will find. Know what a seeker has? You know what a seeker has that God's looking for? Desire. A desire for all of it. God, when's the last time you said to God, God, I want to walk in the fullness of the anointing. I want to walk in the fullness of the blessing of Abraham through Jesus Christ. I want to take advantage of every promise. When's the last time you prayed that? That's not a prideful prayer. That's a prayer that's telling God, God, thank you for everything you've given me. I want to take advantage of it. So Jesus' sacrifice is not in vain. Think about that. So put him first in every area of your life so you don't tie the hands of blessing. Amen? Now, the next point. The cross reminds us of our authority that we have as Christians over Satan, over evil spirits, and over circumstances in our life. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Hallelujah. So I'm coming on this Good Friday in this message. I'm hitting points that maybe a lot of maybe leaders aren't kind of touching on today. You know, some are just kind of keeping it general. But I'm taking it around to the thing of faith. Why? Because God wants us to take advantage of every benefit of the gospel. Amen? So I'm expounding it a little bit more here. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. It says, he has delivered us from the power or the authority of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of God, Son of his love, in whom we have redemption. Redemption means you've been bought back with a price. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So that redemption being brought back is the forgiveness of sins. All right? So once you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you are baptized into the family of God. You agree with that? You are set in place in the church, in the ecclesia, in the called out ones. Amen? You have been redeemed out of Satan's grip, out of his grip of authority and power that he once had over your life. Now listen to this. The word conveyed, or as the King James Version says, I like the King James. It's King James Version says translated. Instead of conveyed into the kingdom of God's dear son, it says you've been translated, all right? And that's in the context of this. I love this. It's in the context of an army. Any military people in here tonight? All right, praise God. Awesome. Thank you for your service. Listen to this. An army being deported back home and set free from an enemy's camp. Being set free from an enemy's camp. You're coming back home. Think about that now. That's interesting, isn't it? We're coming back home to our Creator. We're coming back into that rightful relationship that we should have been in. Amen? Right in the beginning of time, before Adam and Eve did their thing. Getting back to God's original purpose for our life. Amen? So in Christ, you could say this, we have been rescued. In Christ, the chains have no legal right to remain any longer in your life. They might be there, but they have no right to be there. Quit giving the devil a stick to beat you with. The prison door has been unlocked. The door has been opened. Amen? All you need to do is get up and get out. Amen? Now it's up to each Christian to partake of that provision, partake of the benefits in Christ. Go with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Oh, Pastor James, I thought this was just going to be a 15-minute message. Yeah, all right. You're getting to know me well. All right. Now, Colossians 2, 13 through 15. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses or all sins, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. In other words, that we couldn't fulfill on our own, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. I love that part. I love it. Jesus literally disarmed the enemy. It's no different as if someone was in front of you, they are pointing a gun at you, and you walked right up and you took it out of their hand. You disarmed them. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did through his death, burial, and resurrection. Amen? Amen. And when we as Christians are exercising that authority, we are making, listen to this, we are making a public embarrassment and a spectacle out of the kingdom of darkness as well. Every time we use our authority in Christ, every time we use the name of Jesus, every time we walk in obedience to the word of God, we are embarrassing the kingdom of darkness. Anybody in here want to embarrass and make a spectacle out of the kingdom of darkness? Use the name, use the authority that you have through Jesus Christ. It's a reminder. Every time we do it, it's a reminder. You know what? When you're walking in the power of the Holy Ghost and using the name of Jesus, you know what? No. The enemy doesn't see Paul, Marie. The enemy doesn't see you. Guess who he sees? Jesus. Why? Because you are a member of the body of Christ. He sees Jesus. The kingdom of darkness, they see Jesus Christ. That's why we got to get our minds focused back on Jesus. Get it off of yourself, right? The enemy loves it when we're just focused on self. Because guess what? Then they do see poor old little Pastor James. Little fleshly Pastor James. But when I use the name of Jesus, when I'm led by the Holy Ghost, by the word of the living God, they say, look out. That's Jesus flowing through him. Amen? And that's where the power's at. All the requirements that were against us, all of the things the enemy would try to use against us to condemn us, has been nailed to the old rugged cross. Think about that. Look at Mark 11. Mark 11. Oh, hallelujah. This day, I'm telling you, this day, oh, I hate to say it like this, but the kingdom of darkness has a bigger revelation of the importance of this day than most Christians. Now, is that an indictment? Think about that. They have a bigger revelation of it, and they're hoping that you and I don't get that revelation. Too late, devil. Holy Ghost is moving. Now, Mark 11, 22 through 24. I just want to touch on something here. So Jesus said to them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith, it says in the original. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore, say therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. The only reason we are able to do that and tap into the blessing is because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. Is there a circumstance that's coming against you in your life? Speak to that mountain in the name of Jesus. Is there a sickness and disease in your body? Speak to it in your body in the name of Jesus. Command that mountain to go. Amen. Speak the word of God to that situation in faith. Believing what the word of God says. Believing, in fact, what you're saying. You got to believe what you're saying. Amen. Jesus spoke to storms. Jesus spoke to sickness, disease, infirmities. Jesus commanded demons and they obeyed him. Again, get a revelation of this. Yeah, but that was Jesus. Yeah, but you're part of his body on this earth. He didn't, when he ascended into heaven, he didn't expect his works to stop. You understand that, right? He expected them to keep going through you. Through you watching and listening right now. Amen? Think about that. When you speak the word over your situation, it's just as if Jesus Christ himself is speaking to it. You get a revelation of that, you will move mountains, ladies and gentlemen. Amen? All you're doing is giving voice to the word of God. That's the importance of getting a rhema word from speaking the logos word, the promises in the word, and then that rhema word, that spoken word. When you come up against a situation, the Holy Ghost will give you a scripture to stand on. He'll give you words to speak. Amen? Amen. You're giving voice to the word of God. I love that. So the Bible says that the word of God will not return void, but it will accomplish, I love that, it will accomplish that which it was sent out to accomplish. So guess what the Holy Ghost told me to tell you? Send the word of God with purpose. Many Christians are sending it flippantly without purpose. Think about that. It says the word will be, when it's sent out, it will accomplish that which it was sent out to do. You got to speak the word, speak the promises with purpose. Amen? You know what another thing to say is? Anybody, you know, who likes to go shoot guns? With purpose means you're aiming at a target. You're not just blowing it everywhere. This is what some Christians are doing. This is what they're doing with the promises of God. They don't know what they're doing. No, it means you have a target. Are you following me? And it's being sent out and released to that target with purpose. That's when it will accomplish that which it's sent out to do. Hallelujah. Now, so plant the seed of God's word into that situation and watch results come forth. Now, so we have that authority returned to us because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have the all-powerful name of Jesus. Next. The cross reminds us that Satan and evil spirits are not all-knowing and they're not all-powerful, but our God is. Amen? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, come back on Sunday. I got a powerful message. Got it done already. It's going to be a take, kind of going around the outskirts again, kind of like what I'm doing here. I think you guys will enjoy it. 1 Corinthians 2, 7 through 8, I want to look at here. 1 Corinthians 2, 7 through 8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So if Satan and evil spirits, if the kingdom of darkness was all-knowing, they would not have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? If they were all-powerful and all-knowing, surely they would have stopped Jesus from going to that cross, but they couldn't do it. Amen. The cross of Jesus Christ was the wisdom of God in action that even his spiritual enemies could not make sense out of. Oh, I like that. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10 now here, just right down the road here. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. This is the importance of being led by the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So we as Christians, we have an advantage over all the kingdom of darkness when we allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit. See, we have the name of Jesus, right? We have his power, we have his name. But here's what, we have the authority and power, right? But this is what the Holy Spirit said. He said, I make that authority and power effective because I show you how to use it effectively. Remember? Remember? Right? The Holy Spirit's the one that's telling you, all right, aim for that target. Use this scripture, release it now. Are you following me? So we have an advantage over the enemy when we're led by the Holy Spirit. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Yeah, if you're not led by the Holy Spirit, that standard's not being lifted above the flood from the enemy. Are you following me? The Holy Spirit is right there to show us how to deal with the enemy in every situation we encounter if we are listening and paying attention to him on the inside of us. We must be paying attention to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Next, the cross reminds us that we can have a new beginning and a glorious future despite what has happened in the past. Think about that. Amen? In the world's eyes, you may be the underdog, the least likely to succeed. But God says that I have given you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11 talks about that. Amen? In spite of who you were or what you have done in the past, through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you can accomplish the impossible. It doesn't matter what anybody says. You do understand that, right? In fact, when people talk against you and say you can't do it, just use that as fuel, baby. Just use that as gasoline thrown on the fire in your heart. Amen? When they're throwing that fecal matter at you, use it as fertilizer. Come on, somebody. Amen? With faith in Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and the leading of the Holy Spirit, you can change and accomplish anything that's within the will of God. And that has to be, there has to be agreement in your heart with the will of God. Amen? Listen to this. I like this. The cross represents death to your past sins and failures, and the resurrection is new life in Christ. Death to your past and new life. We have it all through Jesus. Think about that. Amen? Whatever part of your life that is out of the will of God. Oh, listen to me. Don't miss this. Whatever part of your life that is out of the will of God that you bring to the cross, know this, God will resurrect his will in that area of your life. If you want resurrection in an area, you got to go to the cross first. You got to crucify your flesh. Come on, somebody. Amen? So whatever you bring to, this is what he told me. He said, whatever you bring to the cross, in other words, you're willing to give up, I will resurrect that area of your life for the good. Oh, that's awesome. Amen? Wherever the cross is found in your life, there is where you will experience God's resurrection power. Beyond the cross, you will find new life. Hallelujah. The cross had to happen for the power of God, the resurrection of the new, to be birthed, to take place. The cross had to happen. Amen? And what is Jesus? He said, we need to bear our cross daily. We got to bear our cross daily. Come on. Yeah, Jesus paid for our sins, and he's putting us back in the blessing zone. He's given us a lot of good things. But guess what? None of that matters if we don't carry and take up our cross daily. You know it says that, right? Yeah. Daily. Say daily. Daily. That means every day. Not just once in a while. Not just on Sundays. Not just at a Good Friday service. But every day. Daily. Amen? Here's the next point. I'm almost done. The cross reminds us that we were not able to save ourselves apart from Christ. Look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, I want to look at here. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. In other words, you wouldn't have no salvation if God didn't offer it to you. Are you following me? Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship. You know what that word workmanship means? We are his artwork. Ooh. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, in other words, we didn't earn the right to have Jesus die on the cross for us. God didn't say, okay, humans, you did enough good works, now I'm going to send Jesus. No, it said that he sent Jesus while mankind was cursing him. We were not being nice to God. Are you following me? All right. So it was the grace of God, or the unmerited favor. You couldn't earn it. It was the love of God that put the plan of salvation into motion. If we could have saved ourselves by our own merits, then Jesus Christ was a fool for taking such abuse and dying such a horrible death. Amen? See, I can say that confidently because I know that's not true. Amen? Someone once told a story about a man that went into the finest restaurant in his town, and it was the most expensive of restaurants in his town, and he ordered the most expensive items on the menu. Later on, the waitress came back to give him a bill. The man was shocked and taken back by the amount. He rang up a bill that he wasn't able to pay. Are you getting it? He didn't think of the consequences of the choices he was making. Millions of unsaved people are living a life without thinking about their eternal destination, without thinking about the day of judgment that is coming. And that's not a scare tactic, that's reality. It's just going to happen. Amen? Spiritually speaking, every human being has a debt of sin that they're not able to pay. They rang up a bill they're not able to pay. Only Jesus Christ can pay your bill in full through his death, his burial, and resurrection. Only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can wash away your sin, wash away that sin nature on the inside of you. Amen? So if you never have, will you accept that provision for your life today? Or will you be like that man in the restaurant and you just keep ringing up your bill of sin and not even thinking about the eternal consequences? Listen to this. Only a spiritually blinded fool would say there's no God. Only a spiritually blinded fool would not admit that he or she is a sinner and on their way to hell for eternity without Jesus Christ. Only a spiritually blind fool would never take the time to open the word and read it to find out what it says and what Jesus Christ has to offer them. Only a spiritually blinded fool would allow themselves to fall from grace, to backslide, and allow their names to be blotted out of the book of life by forsaking the Lord Jesus Christ. Only a spiritually blinded fool would pass up the provision, the amazing provision that Jesus Christ has made on that cross in this life and in the life to come. Only a spiritually blinded fool would not consider eternity and what's going to happen to them when they take their last breath and their spirit leaves this earth suit. Think about that. Wake up and consider your spiritual standing before God Almighty right now. Listen to this. This is what blows my mind. Most people plan their whole life to plan for 15 to 20 years of a retirement, but not think one second about their spiritual condition and eternal destination. Think about that. A retirement in this stinking earth suit of 15 to 20 years. They're thinking way ahead of advance in that, but there's no spiritual thought whatsoever. Make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and live forever. Live forever with him. Amen? Beginning in this life, on this earth, and when you get to heaven with him. Amen? If you reject what Jesus has done for you, then you will have to live forever in the lake of fire with Satan and the kingdom of darkness. That's pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? Why? Why? Because Jesus came to you. He knocked on your heart and said, I paid your bill, but you slammed the door on him and said, I want to pay it myself. Then it's hell in the lake of fire for eternity. Have fun paying your bill. Wow. There may be some in this place that maybe you only step into church once or twice a year. Listen, it's your choice. You decide. The message of the cross speaks. It speaks the truth of God's love. It speaks the reality of our Creator and His intent toward you. Amen? But the question now is, will you receive? Will you personally receive the message of the cross? See, the veil has been torn. That enmity can be taken away. The moment you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that veil that's over your heart gets torn. And you can be in right standing with your Creator once again. So it's time to make Him Lord of your life right now. Let's do communion right now. If you need elements, just raise your hand and someone will come by and hand it to you. Hallelujah. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, you can do it right there in your seat. You simply say, God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that He went to that cross to pay for my sins. He died on the cross. He was buried. He went to hell, and He was resurrected from the dead. I believe He's alive and well. He was resurrected. If you believe that in your heart, the Bible says this. It goes on to say, confess Him as Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus, you are Lord of my life right now. That's what you have to do. And the Word of God says, if you will do that, you are born again. And it's a new life for you. Now, with communion, you do not have to be a member of Living Waters Chapel. But the Bible says you must be born again. You must be a Christian to partake of it. And it's a time of self-reflection. It's a time of remembering what Jesus did. Just close your eyes right now. Just in your heart, I want you to just say to God, Heavenly Father, show me areas of my life that I have fallen short. And you know what? Most of the time, He doesn't really have to show you because we know where we fall short. Amen? We know the areas that we're in bondage and we're giving place to the enemy. But it doesn't hurt to ask Him to show you because maybe your conscience is seared, as the Bible says. You've been in sin for so long that it's just become normal lifestyle to you. That's the danger zone right there. So ask Him, say, show me areas of my life. And then put it under the blood. Ask for forgiveness Repent, confess your sin, and forsake it. That's what he wants. He wants a heart in you that says, God, I want you more than anything else. I want you more, God, than that pornography. I want you more than those curse words. I want you more than that alcohol. Come on, somebody. I want you more than anything else. Jesus, you are more precious than any drug, than anything on this earth. That's what God wants from you. That's where you can make a shift in your heart tonight. Tonight's your night to kick over those idols that you've been putting before Jesus. So just in your own heart, confess them as sin right now and tell God in your own way, God, I want you more than anything. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross. So Jesus, we remember your broken body. We do not take it lightly. You were whipped, you were beaten, and it was for us. It was for our healing. By your stripes, we are healed. It's a spiritual healing and a physical. Jesus, thank you so much for staying there. You could have called on thousands of angels, Jesus, to be delivered from that. Think about that. But he didn't. He didn't. Why? For the joy that was set before him, he went to the cross. Jesus, we remember your broken body. You may partake of the bread. Hallelujah. And Jesus, we remember, because of that broken body, because those nails that were driven through your hands and feet, because of that spear that was driven in your side, your blood was poured out. The precious blood of Jesus. It's from the spotless Lamb of God. Think about that now. Let's really get a revelation of this. The pureness of his blood that was spread out on the mercy seat of heaven. Think about this. Hallelujah. He was sinless. He was perfect. Perfect life. Now, when you put your faith in him, you know, this is what the atonement is. You ever heard that word, atonement? It means, you could say it this way, at one with. At one meant. Meaning, his righteousness becomes your righteousness. You're at one with Jesus. The atonement. See, don't let those big theological words scare you. Don't worry, Pastor's going to break it down real easy for you as you come to Living Waters Chapel. Amen. Everything Jesus has gained through his death, burial, and resurrection, when you put your faith in him, it becomes yours as well. Jesus, we remember your shed blood that seeped through those holes, through those scars, through the flesh that was torn away. We remember the blood that dripped, that poured out for us. Hallelujah. We receive all the benefits and blessings of the precious shed blood of Jesus. You may partake of the drink. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we thank you for this night. We thank you for your word that's so good. Holy Spirit, I know you are here. I pray that this word that was released, Lord God, that it wouldn't just be words just rumbling around in the heart, but, Lord, turn it into an encounter for these people, an encounter that they, when they leave this place, when they go home, when they're laying in bed, they will sense your manifest presence and glory like never before, and you will expound everything that was spoken tonight, and you will lead and guide them. And we thank you, Jesus, for going to that cross, and we thank you for what happens on this Sunday so we can have new life. And everybody said? Amen. Amen. All right, everyone, have a blessed night. Thanks for coming. And come back Sunday. We're going to have a good old time. Amen. God bless you all. Love you all.